Now, the eternal battle between what the science says and what the headlines say continued this week. Today, you might have heard about a new wonder drug that cures Alzheimer's disease. Well, it's a great study, but it's more relevant for Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and at best, it's going to be years before it's available. And if you live in the Heathrow flight path, you might have been terrified this week of an impending heart attack. A study published in the British Medical Journal observed that there are higher incidences of various cardiovascular diseases in areas significantly affected by aeroplane noise. It's a good, small study, and they've tried to account for some of the confounders, the factors that might affect that result: ethnicity, sex, age, socioeconomic background, and so forth. But the headlines did what headlines do. Ealing Today went with "Living under a flight path can damage your health," and The Independent, "Why living near an airport could be bad for your health." So we went to statistician Professor Kevin McConway from the Open University, and I asked him what we can really conclude from that study.
Well, in a sense, we can't conclude anything for sure. I mean, all they really found was that if you live in areas where there's more noise, and if we kind of allow for various differences between those areas, the people who live in those areas, taken as a whole, are more likely to have heart disease and strokes. What we can't conclude directly from what they did is that aircraft noise is really bad for you. In fact, we can't conclude it's bad for you at all. We can just say there's an indication it might well be, and we ought to look further at it, which is what they say in the paper.
So the paper itself is fine, but the reporting of nuanced findings, where do the faults come in? How does it translate from being a nuanced paper into being dramatic headlines?
I think the problem is that it's difficult to get a nuanced conclusion into a headline. Aircraft noise might be bad for you or it might not. You know, it kind of doesn't sound very good. And it's kind of indefinite. People want certainty. And I think you have to be conscious of the process by which the newspaper headline is produced. Now, in the press release for this story, which I've seen, it gave the ifs and buts to a certain extent. It said, well, you know, they found this relationship between noise and heart disease and strokes, but they really don't know that that's causal. And they reported that fairly in the press release. But then it gets into the paper and there's another filtering process.
And when it gets into the paper, some of the reports and some of the headlines that we've heard have made one of the classic errors, which is to confuse correlation with causation. So we see a relationship in the paper between aircraft noise and an increase in cardiovascular disease. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they're causing one another.
Well, it doesn't mean for sure that they're causing one another. That's it, a possibility is that one's causing the other. So you can't say, well, these two things are correlated, but it isn't the case that one's causing the other, because you don't know that definitely either. It might well be the case that aircraft noise does cause these diseases, but it might not be.
This obviously isn't nearly the first time this kind of complex story is reported in a slightly simplistic way. In fact, that, of course, is almost the entire basis of our sister show, More or Less, on Radio 4. But it's another Radio 4 reference that you've written about in the past, which is a checklist that people can use to see if they can identify whether or not the story is spot on or a little bit wayward. And you've turned it into a rather useful acronym.
Well, the acronym is, I mean, I won't spell out all the actual details, but basically, if you take the letters of a well-known Radio 4 presenter's name, John Humphreys, not a beat about the bush, each of those letters links to a question that you could ask about a study, particularly about health risk, that allows you to take a judgment on whether it's really telling you something about what's going on, whether it's relevant to you, whether it's telling you you should do something different.
OK, so each one of the letters of John Humphrey's names is one of the questions. We can't go through all 12 letters, but let's see if we can pick out some of the letters of John Humphrey's that are appropriate for assessing this story. So
J is for just observing people. OK, a bit contrived. The point being that, think of the Heathrow study. Suppose you really wanted to know, you were a dictator, you could do anything you liked, and you really wanted to know whether putting people in a position where there was terrible aircraft noise causing them to get ill. What you do is you take a bunch of people and you pick some of them at random and you play horrible loud aircraft noise to them, or you'd make them live at the end of the runway at Heathrow, and the rest you'd make them live in some nice quiet place in the country and so on. And you'd then follow them up for a bit and see which one's got the most heart disease. So that's what you'd do. And that way, the only difference between these people would be that one lot had had the noise, the other lot hadn't, right? But that would be an experiment. Now, you can't do that with people because it's clearly not ethical. Not only is it not ethical, it wouldn't work. They move.
Right. Okay, so that's the J. Right?
That's the J.
I'm going to pick out another one, M. So M in Humphreys. M stands for might be explained by something else.
Well, that's, yes, there's an observed relationship, correlation between noise in an area and the level of cardiovascular disease in the area. But is it the noise that's causing the cardiovascular disease, or is there something else that might be causing it? And this is something where somebody just thinking about this, who doesn't necessarily have scientific expertise, may come up with a perfectly good reason that the scientists who've had their heads in the book looking at this stuff might not even have thought of. So this is something that anybody could do. Is there some other reason?
OK, so it scores quite highly on the J and the M. Let's pick one final one. Y, yet another single study. Is this just a single study? Is it one sample size?
I mean, this is the point that very often you get stories in the press that say, a study by researchers from wherever has shown the following. Now, there's hardly any circumstance, particularly with observational studies that aren't experiments, where one study establishes what's going on. It just, I'm not saying it never happens, but it hardly ever happens. There has to be a picture built up showing how the causes work, showing how things fit together.
So in conclusion, it's the sort of mantra of statistics. It's a bit more complicated than that.
Yes, that's why people think statisticians are boring. Of course we're not.
Well, we don't think you're boring. That was the very interesting Kevin McConway from the Open University.